Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Livonier, and coming up in this hour, continuing series. We're following stories from Terry and the Pirates, yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and right now, Adventures by Morse. It's the second episode of The City of the Dead, released for syndicated broadcast on January 15th, 1944.
Adventures by Morse. Carlton E. Morse presents The City of the Dead, featuring Captain Friday.
If you like big adventure, come with me. If you like stealth and intrigue, come with me. If you like blood and thunder, come with me.
But first, our sponsor. The City of the Dead. Midnight in October. A night when almost anything is liable to happen. And much already has. Old Joshua Friday, mayor of the City of the Dead, otherwise known as the caretaker of the old cemetery no longer in use, had just been mysteriously shot. The shooting took place when Mayor Friday pulled a bell rope in the little church ruins at the lower end of the City of the Dead. Old Dr. Tooner and the mayor had been led to the abandoned ruins in their search for the phantom toll of a church bell. They found no bell, just a bell rope. And when the mayor pulled it, he was shot. And now, back in the mayor's cottage at the other end of the City of the Dead. Earlier in the evening, Dr. Tooner and the mayor had locked up young Jimmy Parker and the girl, Phyllis Carroll, who had stopped there for aid when their parked car had been stolen from them by gunmen. But that was 9 o'clock. It's midnight now, and Doc Tooner had carried the unconscious body of his friend from the old church back to the caretaker's cottage.
Is he dead?
Of course not. You think I'd lug a dead body through a cemetery at midnight?
How badly is he hurt?
Oh, I reckon it's just a scalp wound.
Who shot him?
I wish I knew, Miss Carroll. Reckon I'll do a bit of telephoning.
But you told us you didn't have a phone.
Did I now?
You most certainly did.
Yeah, guess that's just one of those things.
But look here.
Now, Parker, keep your shirt on. Just sit still and listen while I take care of things.
Oh, so that's where you keep the phone.
Yep. Long distance, please. Uh-huh. Long distance? Listen, Central, will you get me Skyline 2020?
Who is it you're calling?
You'll know in good time.
But...
Hello? Hello, Captain Friday's office? Yeah, well, is Captain Friday in? Good. Hello, Captain. Say, this is Dr. Tooner. Yeah, Doc Tooner. No, nothing much. Say, I'm down with your father in the City of the Dead. Yeah. Now, listen, Captain. Something's happened to the mayor. No, it's not his heart. He's been shot. No, he ain't gonna die. Just a clip on the head. Yeah, I tell you, if it was serious. But look here, boy. There's something wrong down here. Something wrong, I say. Yeah. Could you come down for a week? Yeah, keep your mouth shut and come down. Good, that's the ticket. And be sure you don't talk. Yeah. Goodbye.
Has Mayor Friday got a son?
Yeah, Captain Friday, private investigator. Owns his own agency up in the city.
And he's coming down here?
He is, and he'll want to talk to you, too.
When is he coming down?
A couple hours.
But why can't we call the city?
Not until you talk to the captain.
Dr. Tooner, what on earth is that on your back?
My back?
Yes, there's a footprint on your coat.
You don't say. Yeah, I'll take my coat off.
What kind of a thing made that?
The same thing that scratched my face. Jiminy crickets, what a footprint.
Did someone knock you down and walk on you? Looks like it.
Who ever heard of a barefooted man running around at midnight in a cemetery?
Well, did he scratch you with his hands?
No, with his claws.
A man with claws?
Well, look at this footprint. That's a human foot, all right, and if those aren't claws at the end of his toes...
Ooh. But did you see him?
I did not. I felt him plenty, though.
Yeah, did he shoot the mayor?
Well, I reckon the story will keep until the captain gets here. Hello, that's the mayor.
Oh, is he coming, too?
No, I reckon not. Good sign, though.
Oh, I want to get away from this place. Doctor, how long are you going to keep us here?
Well, it depends, Miss Carroll. It depends. Would you rather spend your time here or up at the city in jail?
Jail?
What kind of talk's that? What have we done to be sent to jail?
That remains to be seen. We'll just sit right here and wait.
Two o'clock. Oh, dear.
Here he is. That'll be him.
Hello, Doc.
Hey, Captain Friday, you made a quick trip.
One of the traffic boys brought me down on his motorcycle. How's Dad?
Just as I told you, not in the slightest danger. Still unconscious, though. This is Miss Phyllis Carroll and James Parker.
Hi. How do you do?
Company, eh?
Well, in a way, maybe.
Not company? What then?
Look here. Supposing you sit down and hear the whole story. There's a deuce of a lot of nonsense going on out here.
Fire away, but first you're sure the old man's okay?
Yes, the wound is hardly a scratch.
Just grazed him, huh? Okay. Go ahead with your story.
Well, in the first place, there have been indications of marauders in the City of the Dead for the last 3 nights.
Yeah?
Footsteps on the gravel. Footprints the next morning. Once the mayor was certain, he saw one down among the graves.
Mm-hmm.
And then tonight, well, we heard a scream that had raised the dead, and then someone ran by the house sobbing as though scared out of his wits.
Man?
Sounded so. The mayor slipped outside, and pretty soon he shouted to me to open the door, and he brought these two youngsters in.
Well.
And they swear they didn't make the noise.
Did either of them look as though they'd been frightened?
No, just nervous. They said they'd just been held up by two gunmen and their car taken away from them.
Better and better. What next?
Well, after they were held up and were walking toward the cottage here, they say this frightened man that the mayor and I heard ran past him.
Did you get a good look at him?
No, we got off the road and we heard him coming.
No. Too bad.
And then they claimed to have come directly to the house here. They wanted to telephone the police in the city.
And Dr. Tooner said there wasn't a phone in the house.
What was that for, Doc?
Let's pass over that for the moment.
Go on.
Well, Mayor and I took it into our hands to detain these two young people.
Lock them up?
Well, yes, in a way.
High-handed business.
Well, how do we know but what they're grave robbers?
Ever rob a grave, Miss Carroll?
No, sir.
You, Parker?
Do I look like a grave robber?
There you are, Doc. Looks like you and Dad pulled a boner. Now then, what happened?
Oh, yes, I almost forgot about the phantom church bell.
Don't tell me you got a ghost mixed up in this.
Well, these youngsters came in with the story of hearing a bell ringing down at the other end of the City of the Dead.
Down in the old church?
Yes, but the mayor said there wasn't any bell there.
This is beginning to have possibilities.
Well, after we locked up these two, we went out to look around, and I'll be a son of a gun if we didn't hear a bell. Well, Captain, your dad's sort of impetuous at times.
Thinks after his son. I bet your money he dragged you down to the old church.
He did, first up in the balcony, and then back to the old study behind the altar.
Isn't that where that old fellow, what's his name, hanged himself?
Yes, it is. Well, as we were creeping up on the room, the most ghastly moan you ever laid ear to came out of the study.
The ghost.
I was ready to come home by then, but the mayor insisted that we'd had something cornered and we'd ought to capture it. So we laid down on our stomachs and wiggled up to the study door. It was darker than the inside of a pirate's heart. And we were lying directly in front of the door, and the mayor shoved it open.
And out popped the ghost.
I wish it had been a ghost. Look how it ripped my face with his claws.
Oh, that's how you got scratched up.
It ran the full length of me, wailing fit to curl your hair.
You don't say.
It ran out of the building, and the mayor and I jumped to our feet, and your dad switched on his flashlight, and the study was empty.
Naturally.
But there was a new bell rope hanging through the ceiling.
The bell?
That's just what your dad thought. He gave the rope a yank, and someone shot him.
But did the bell ring?
Blame do I know. I was so rattled, I didn't hear anything. I didn't wait. I grabbed the mayor up on my shoulder and didn't look back till I got home.
Amazing. Offhand, how do you think Dad was shot? There are no windows in the study, as I remember.
No, there ain't. And I'll swear there wasn't anyone in that room but us.
Could anyone have shot from the door?
No, it had swung shut. And besides, the mayor had his back to the door, and he was shot from the front.
Curiouser and curiouser. Tell me more about this animal that gave you the trouncing.
Now here, look at that footprint on my coat. Does that look like animal to you?
No. Barefoot man, what do you know?
And look at those claws.
I don't believe it, Doc.
That footprint and these scratches are all the proof I want.
Then I'm supposed to find a barefoot man with claws, a phantom church bell, a hysterical man, not to mention two auto thieves. More than that, I'm supposed to find out why two law-abiding citizens, one of them my own father, have practically kidnapped a perfectly respectable boy and girl.
Mm-hmm. I reckon you'll be just as well off not to look into that bangle very close. And there was something else. You know the mayor's got a sort of a half-wit gardener working for him.
Old Lammy Fink? Is he figuring on this, too?
Well, we found his cap down among the tombstones as we were going down to the church. Here it is. The mayor said he saw Lammy wear it home from work last evening, and it looks to me like Lammy was back in the City of the Dead last night.
No, not Lammy. He's scared to death of this cemetery after dark.
That's what your dad said, Captain.
Now, that's the truth. I know Lammy. He wouldn't come near the place after sunset.
Well, then explain the hat.
Give me time, Doc. Give me time. I haven't been here a half hour yet.
Look here, you two talk and talk. Aren't you going to let us call the city?
Well, what about it, Doc? Going to let our young friends depart in peace now?
Well, look here, Captain Friday. We can't do that. I want to talk to you alone for a spell.
All right, Doc, if you're ready to talk. You don't mind if Dr. Tuner and I adjourn to the kitchen for a little chat, do you? Come on, Doc. Well, it's like this, kids. Dr. Tuner has thrown new light on this business. Suppose you tell me, Mr. Parker, who you are, what you do.
I'm a student at the University of California, junior year.
I see. Living with your parents?
No, I have a room in a small hotel.
What hotel?
The Britain.
Would you be missed if you didn't show up for, say, a week?
Well, I suppose so.
I see. What about you, Miss Carroll?
I don't work anywhere.
Live at home?
With my mother.
What's your address?
The Brundell Apartments on Jackson Street.
Any phone?
Franklin 7076. But you aren't going to keep us here, are you?
Tell me this, Mr. Parker. How did you happen to come down to the City of the Dead tonight?
Just driving.
No ulterior motive. I mean, besides the moon and the girl.
No.
Well, look here, you two. You seem to have gotten yourselves into a mess.
But no.
Yes, wittingly or unwittingly. Now then, you have a choice. Either you remain here for a week and submit to being locked up nights and having a guard at all other times, or else I'll have to take you back to the city and have you locked up.
We haven't done anything.
Oh, that's to be proven. I can't have the police hold you for investigation.
Well, I don't understand it. I don't know what it's all about.
You can't do this to us.
Nevertheless, it's happening. Now then, which shall it be?
I don't know what to say.
I want to go home.
Well, that's impossible at the moment, Miss Carroll. If you chose to stay here, I'll make it right with your mother. Likewise with your hotel, Parker.
Oh, Jimmy.
We could get out on bail.
Not on a held for investigation charge, you couldn't. Believe me, I'd advise you to stay. Jail's a rotten place to spend time.
Oh, yes. Oh, please, let's stay here, Jimmy.
All right. We'll stay.
Good. I'll run up to the city in the morning. Probably get back tomorrow afternoon about 5.
You're going to the city to check up on Jimmy and me?
Is there any harm in that?
No. No, I guess not.
That's fine. You two wait here a minute. I want a word with Doc Tuner.
Oh, Jimmy, darling, what have we got ourselves into?
Well, get hold of yourself.
I knew we shouldn't have come. I knew it all the time.
Then the youngsters, Phyllis and Jimmy Parker, aren't so innocent of the night activities as they're pretending. What will Captain Friday have to report when he returns from the city? But first, our sponsor.
Back again.
Well, back from the city already? Quick trip, Captain Friday.
Yep, sitting pretty. Oh, hello, Miss Carroll. Didn't see you and Jimmy.
Did you see my mother?
I did, the first thing this morning when I got to the city. I left her not the least bit worried.
But how did you explain it?
Don't give a thought. Just settle down and have a good time while you're here. How's the mayor, Doc?
Yeah, he came too just after you left this morning. He was feeling so rotten, I gave him a mild powder. Still sleeping.
Did you tell him you brought me down here?
Yeah.
What did he say?
No, he growled a little bit, but he's really tickled.
He was. Old son of a gun. Say, Doc, what time are you going to give us some dinner?
Oh, in about an hour, if Miss Carroll here will give me a hand.
Why, of course I will.
Well, that'll give Parker and me a little time to look about. Like to come along with me, Parker?
Why, sure.
Good. We'll take a run down among the tombstones. See you later, Doc. It's been a long time since I had a good look at the City of the Dead.
Oh, that's so?
Mm-hmm. Here, let's cut across this way.
Where are we going?
I want to look over the ground where the mayor and Dr. Tuner picked up Lammy Fink's cap last night. Did Lammy show up for work this morning?
I guess not. I heard the mayor and Dr. Tooner talking about it when the mayor came to. Doc promised to go over to Lammy's cabin and see what was the matter.
Did he go?
I suppose that's where he went. Anyway, he locked Phyllis and me up about noon and was away for a couple of hours.
Yeah. Be careful where you walk and let me know if you find any footprints. Not that you're likely to find any on this grass.
Captain Friday, what's it all about? Why are you keeping us here like this?
Answer me one question, Parker, and perhaps I can answer both of yours.
Well, I will if I can.
What were you and Miss Carroll actually doing here at the City of the Dead last night?
I told you.
See, there you are. You won't play square with me. How can you expect me to be on the up and up with you?
But I tell you, it was just an accident that brought us here last night.
And I tell you, I think you're lying.
Look, just because you're a private detective...
Now, Parker, don't get nasty. If you don't want to talk, it's all right with me. I'll find out for myself eventually. In the meantime, our relationship can be pleasant or strained. However you want it.
You won't find anything out about me. You took the trouble to look me up while you were in town.
I did take the trouble.
Well?
I found you just what you purported yourself to be. A junior at the University of California. Likewise, Miss Carroll told the truth.
Well, doesn't that satisfy you?
Under ordinary conditions, I'd be willing to give you the benefit of the doubt. These are extraordinary circumstances.
In what way?
That remains to be seen. Oh, just a minute, here we are. Dr. Tooner said they found the cap just a little to the left of old Lady Gregory's grave. If I remember, that would be right over there.
You mean you know every one of these 10,000 graves by heart?
Well, not all of them. I got a pretty good idea of the lay of the land here. You see, when I was a kid, this was my playground.
What a curious childhood.
Yeah, that's the grave, all right. Now then, supposing you do a little looking around.
Exactly what do you expect to find?
I don't know. But look here. If Lammy Fink was here among the graves after dark last night for some diabolical reason, and believe me, it would take the devil and a legion of his assistants to get him here. There must have been a reason for him leaving his cap behind.
And you expect to find out what took him away in such a hurry that he didn't have time to stop for his cap?
No, it would help.
Say, don't you suppose the fellow that ran by us sobbing was Lammy, do you?
I've been wondering if it couldn't have been, since I heard about this cap business. Sounds like something Lammy would do. Found anything?
No, sir. You?
Yep. Rather what I expected to find.
What? Well, what was it? I don't see anything.
You don't, huh? Come on, I've come to see. Let's get back to the cottage. Doc will be having supper for us by the time we get in and cleaned up.
But what was it you saw, Captain Fry?
You'll find out soon enough, Parker. Don't push me. I'm not much for going off before I'm primed and loaded. I promise you this much, however. This is going to be the biggest night this cemetery's had in a lot of years.
You've had your supper, Mayor. Don't you think you better turn in? You look sort of peaked.
Yeah, not on your life. I ain't going to spend much time in bed from now on until I catch the fella that shot me.
Well, that's what I'm down here for, Dad.
I'll catch my own gunman, young fella.
Yeah, you probably will at that. Now, but look, now that we're all gathered around in one big family, what do you say to a little intimate chat?
About what particularly, Captain?
Well, for instance, what about Lammy Fink?
Nothing.
What does that mean?
I said there was nothing about him. He wasn't home.
You mean he's moved out?
No, he just wasn't around. Clothes, food, and the likes were all there.
Oh. Well, that's something. Maybe Lammy was down in the City of the Dead last night after all.
Don't believe it. Been down at the old church yet, son?
No, not yet, Mayor. Trip to the city took most of the day. Did have a look around the place where you folks picked up Lammy's cap, though.
Find anything?
I did.
You did? What did you find, boy?
Before I tell you, I want to ask Miss Carroll a question. You mind, Miss Carroll?
Why, of course not.
Good. What would you expect to find if you opened a grave?
Why do you say that? Why do you look at me like that?
Say, what are you trying to do?
Suppose you keep out of this, Parker.
An asinine question if I ever heard one.
Yeah. Perhaps you'd like to answer the question yourself.
Sure. Offhand, I'd say a corpse.
Not a half bad guess. Somebody evidently wasn't quite so certain.
Look here, Captain, what are you getting at?
That's what I say. Somebody evidently wasn't quite certain just what one does keep in a grave.
What do you mean?
Somebody opened one down in the City of the Dead last night.
Opened a grave?
What? Robbing a grave in my city? By a thunder...
Dad, take it easy. You know anything about it, Miss Carroll?
No. No, of course not.
Anything to say, Parker?
Do I look like a grave robber? Besides, how do you know a grave was opened?
Saw where the turf had been carefully cut about the edges and then replaced. It was old Ernie Morton's grave, Doc.
Ernie Morton's grave, eh? Think of that, Mayor. Think of anyone wanting to disturb poor old Ernie Morton's bones.
I'll have somebody's hide for this.
Thought we'd go down this evening and see whether the ghouls carried Ernie away with them.
Here's the grave.
Yep, this is the one, Mayor. Strip off your coat, Parker. You and I are going in for a little heavy exercise.
I'm to help dig?
That's the idea. Hey, see here, sod's all loose. We'll lift it off first, and then it can be replaced.
The ghouls who did this knew their business.
That's a neat job, huh, Dad? Oh, excuse me.
No, keep out of your way. It is a neat job, but that, eh, Mayor?
Yeah, too neat. It'd take an expert to cut up the sod as perfectly as this and replace it in this manner.
Know anyone who could do it besides yourself, Dan?
Any landscape gardener could do it.
Here, Parker, pile a sod like this so we can fit it back together when we get through. Could Lammy Fink do it?
Lammy? Why, of course he could.
Yeah. So I thought.
But look here, son. You can't make me believe Lammy'd come down here and open the grave himself.
Hey, listen to that, Captain.
Church bell, all right?
Yes. Coming from down toward the old church, too.
Looks like I'm going to have to take a run through the ruins tomorrow.
Well, go through in the daytime. No godly man would ever go in there at night. The mayor and I know, don't you, Mayor?
Yeah.
Now, enough of the heavy work, Parker. Here's a shovel. You work at this end, and I'll work at the head for a while. When we get down a foot or two, we'll have to work in relays. There won't be room for us both.
I'm not used to this sort of thing.
You're not, huh? What about those blisters on your fingers and the palms of your hands?
Blisters?
Certainly. You don't suppose I'd overlook your hands, do you?
Well, I didn't get them digging up bodies.
Looked to me as if they were made by a shovel.
Suppose they were.
Well?
Why don't they stop ringing that bell?
Getting on your nerves?
Yes, it is.
What about those blisters?
Well, I'm working my way through college, if you must know.
So?
Got a job gardening.
It's the use of lying. It'll only make it worse for you.
I'm not lying.
Here, rest a moment. Get your breath.
Yeah? You're making good headway. Down about a foot and a half already.
Yeah, the dirt's still loose. It's easy digging.
Yeah, don't you want me to take a hand at shoveling?
No, Doc. You'd creak under the weight of a shovel full of dirt.
Thanks for nothing. You know, it's been 20 years since we laid Ernie away. Do you remember it, Mayor?
Yeah.
It was storming to beat the deuce. There wasn't anyone present except you and me and the two grave diggers and the fellow that drove the hearse.
Yeah, Doc, I remember. One of the grave diggers had to keep bailing out the grave until we could get Ernie into it.
Did you help bury all of your patients, Dr. Tour?
Every last one of them. Sort of a little courtesy, if you get what I mean. I saw them through life, saw them safely tucked away in the ground, and now I sort of watch over them while they sleep.
I'll go to it, Parker, if you got your breath. You take a shift down in the hole and then I'll follow you.
Yeah, sure, but... But...
Well?
Well, suppose I dig into something. That'd be awful.
Well, suppose you do. Sing out and we'll all come down and take a look.
I don't like it.
Good full moon tonight.
Yeah.
I never stood around on one foot in the graveyard at night before. It does give a fellow the creeps, don't it?
Getting a molly grubble?
Yeah. You begin to see things.
Bless my soul, did you hear that? That's it. That's it, son.
What do you mean?
It's the claw-footed man.
Claw-footed man, huh? I don't see anything.
There. Over there. There's something white moving.
It disappeared.
Oh.
Listen.
Captain Friday.
Captain Friday.
What is it? What's the matter, Parker?
I've dug up something ghastly. His dead arm is reaching up to me.
You have just heard the second episode of The City of the Dead, written and produced by Carlton E. Morse. What was it that Jimmy Parker uncovered in the grave? What was the phantom at which Captain Friday shot? What will the old church ruins reveal by daylight? Come with us next week when you will hear the third episode entitled The Body That Walked Off.
Adventures by Morse on Tuned to Yesterday, part two of that syndicated story, City of the Dead, from January 15th, 1944. You are listening to an hour of continuing series on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now on to the 36th episode in the series, Terry and the Pirates, picking up from last week's episode from November 24th, 1941, out of WGN Chicago.
Terry and the Pirates is brought to you by the makers of Libby's Pineapple Juice, one of Libby's 100 famous foods. Something tells me, boys and girls, that the Terryscope is going to play a big part in today's adventure. And something tells me, too, that you're going to have a thrill you'll never forget when your Terryscope arrives. Because you can get a Terryscope, an exact duplicate of the one that Terry made. Take it from me, boys and girls, life will be a whole lot more exciting when you get your Terryscope. Here's all you do. You take a label from Libby's Grand Tomato Juice and one from Libby's Hawaiian Pineapple Juice. Print your full name, address, and age on the back of one of the labels. Then mail them with just 10 cents to Terry, care of Libby's, Chicago, Illinois. You got that address? It's Terry in care of Libby's, L-I-B-B-Y-S, Chicago. And don't forget to enclose your dime. You'll agree you never got such a thrilling 10 cents worth as in this Terryscope. You'll have fun with it for months, playing G-Men and writing secret code messages and fooling the other kids. And here's another thing. The Terryscope shows you how to play two swell new games. Yes, sir, the crazy picture game and the treasure hunt game. There sure are honeys. And there's a game board on the envelope that the Terryscope comes in and full directions on how to play. The minute you get your Terryscope, you're all set for fun. So don't put it off, kids. Send today. Be one of the first to have a Terryscope. Remember, you'll need one label from Libby's Tomato Juice and one from Libby's Pineapple Juice. Print your full name, address, and age on the back of one label, enclose 10 cents, and mail to Terry in care of Libby's, Chicago, Illinois. Ask your mother right after the show to get some Libby's Tomato Juice and Libby's Pineapple Juice tomorrow. Then shoot your order right in to Terry, care of Libby's, Chicago. And now, Terry and the Pirates. Terry Lee, young American in China, together with the husky, handsome Pat Ryan and their friends, went to the Chinese mountains to recover an amazing radio invention stolen from them by the dreaded Dragon Lady. And now, after days of difficulties, Pat and Terry have the little invention with them. Ah, but all is not so certain, for these two daring Americans are hiding under a pile of hay in a Chinese wagon. They are trying to get to Chungking to get away from the Dragon Lady. But the wagon has stopped on the road, and Terry, making good use of his Terryscope, sticks this amazing device out through the hay and says to Pat,
"There's an automobile coming, Pat. Must be coming from Utong."
"Coming from... what do you suppose this is?"
"The driver of this wagon standing on the road watching the car coming."
"Can you make out the car? Anything about it?"
"Take another look through this Terryscope. Yeah, it's the car from the Dragon Lady's place. Pat, it looks like we're going to spend a few uncomfortable moments."
"Well, keep peeking through this pile of dried grass. Keep that radio transmitter close to you."
"Yeah, it's right here beside me. Yeah, it's the car we saw at Utong, all right. Say, what do we do about Connie?"
"Well, what can we do?"
"Yeah, that's so. He doesn't know we're under all this hay back here."
"Well, let him stay up there in the driver's seat. Nobody wants Connie. Dragon Lady told him he could go. Everything worked out okay for him."
"Well, here comes trouble, Pat. Yeah, plenty. Guess who's in that car?"
"There's no time for guessing games."
"It's Mr. Keel."
Keel, eh? Anybody else?
Hey, you! Hey, you fella! Come here! We'll be for talking beside you, huh?
Singer, singer, I'm a monkey's uncle.
Sure, he's driving the car for Keel.
Hey, hey, you boy on the wagon seat, come here.
Or perhaps you're speaking to me, honorable?
You tell it, friend, you tell it.
Is there something wrong, I have no doubt?
Yeah, plenty wrong, young fella.
And Connie and Singer, Singer get to talking together, nobody can understand them.
Maybe we can hear what they say.
You are lost, perhaps?
What has happened to your friends, my friend?
Arrest, honorable one, by the bones of my ancestors, I will...
I am not interested in the bones of your ancestors. I am very much interested in the bones of your friend.
You had better let me question this chop singer.
Sure thing, boss. Now you, little fella. You speak when you're spoken to, huh?
Can do.
What are you doing here?
Connie is for make ride walk see to Chongqing. Kindly permission give for ride by Honorable Missy Dragon Lady.
Very well. Now then I'm going to ask you a question. And do not lie to me. Savvy?
Arrest, Connie is not wise. A new raid egg has no feather.
What are you talking about anyway?
Still, Singer, your job is to drive this car.
Sure, I'm a good driver. I'm a great rattler. I rattle all over the world. I drive the car all over the world.
Yes, and at the moment, you are the biggest nuisance in the world.
Oh, Doc! You have that, little fella? I am also a great nuisance.
Hey, still!
I'm great, fella. I'm big, I'm strong. I catch people to try to run away.
Get out of the car. Get out, I say. Come, we'll both get out. What an imbecile. Come, you boy, what is your name?
Connie, sir.
Come with me, we'll walk up and talk with the driver of this wagon, too. And you, Singer, do not follow us. Stay where you are.
I can see everything through this telescope, Pat. But I'm worried.
So am I, Perry.
Well, of course, he can't get anything out of Connie or the driver. I don't know we're hiding under all this. Hey, I can see Sing Sing. He's getting restless. He's coming toward the wagon. Uh-oh, if he decides to go for a nap in this hay.
Where is he now? Thank goodness that telescope is with us.
He's almost. What do we do?
Well, I think we better... Miss Hay, I'm going
to... Uh-huh! What was that? What was that I hear? Somebody is snapping around here. Sing Sing has good ears. He has a great one for hearing things. I bet I'm going to...
Quick, Terry. Grab the big ox up here, quick.
Okay. We're making too much noise.
No, we're not. None of we... Hurry. Drag him up on the wagon.
Oh, you caught him right on the chin.
Yeah, I can still feel it. Now, quick now, cover him up. Then grab a little transmitter and your telescope and...
I got him. What do we do next?
Come on. We'll keep the wagon between us and Keel.
So where are we going?
To the car. You're getting back. Crouch down. Go on now.
What about you?
Never mind me. I've got a gun. Get moving.
Okay.
Do not lie to me, boy. You know where those two Americans are. You helped them to escape. They have the radio invention with them, have they not?
My liver is torn with sympathy for you, honorable sir, but...
Never mind that. You're evading my question. Now then, before I decide to use other methods, where are those two men?
Arras, I do not know.
Did they take the radio device with them?
Arras, it is not for me to know so greatly many things.
Either they took it, smuggled it away, or it is now in Chongqing with the women who flew away in the airplane. And you can tell me. Now then, Connie, or whatever your name is, are you going to tell me where those friends of yours are?
Please, much pain in the wrist. Connie is on knees to say, please, honorable.
Yes, I will twist your wrist more unless you...
Let the boy go.
What?
So? Also, dropping in like this, twist of wrist.
Get up, Connie, get out of the way. No, no, Keel, keep your hands away from your pockets. Or Mr. Ryan will have to fill you full of little bitty bullets.
What do you want?
What do I want? I'll tell you in just a moment. Connie,
Yes.
Will you see why Mr. Keel wants to touch his pocket?
Oh, it is day of great delight, Mr. Iron Pot. Ah, yes. This is gun for boom bullet.
No wonder Mr. Keel's hand wanders towards his hip pocket. Keep the hearse ticket, Connie.
What do you want, Ryan?
Well, don't count on Singer Singer. He's asleep. He ran into the same thing you're going to run into. Connie.
Yes, boss?
Keep an eye on the driver. He's harmless enough, but let's make sure.
It is so.
Now, Mr. Keel.
You're the brave one with a gun, eh? Well, what do you plan to do with me?
I've been itching to get you out of my system ever since we first met. Really ought to let dude Hennick take first crack at you, but he's busy somewhere else. Connie.
Yes, boss?
Catch this gun of mine. I won't need it. Catch.
It is cut.
Now then, Keel, I... That was very pretty. I didn't expect it.
There's a lot you do not expect, Mr. Ryan. You happen to be fighting a man who was former heavyweight champion of the...
Oh, so much the better. My conscience is clear.
Don't do it, Pat. Why can I stay back there when you're committing tiny tricks? Watch him, Pat, watch him. Oh, perhaps somebody get Ibrock. Oh, yeah. Muchery swing bang.
You're not bad, Ryan.
I'm only better than you in one way.
Yes?
Yeah, you're yellow. You got everything but the stuff to take the fella through. Yeah.
So. On the one, on the two, on the three, on the four.
Never mind counting, Connie. He's out. Oh.
Good work, Pat.
Good chap.
Well, I had a little practice on Singer Singer first.
Well, he was a tough nut to crack.
Yeah. Keel is an expert. Whew. That was a workout.
You get back in the car. I'll drive. Well, come on, Connie. Yeah. Hey, what goes with Keel?
Well, the driver took him in the back with Singer Singer. Connie, tell the driver to put Keel in the wagon when he comes to.
Sure, Papa. You better know.
Well, we got the radio invention, the periscope. We got a car to drive into Chungking with. Guess Lady Luck's smiling at us again, huh, Pat?
Yeah. I'd rather have Lady Luck smile on us than the Dragon Lady. We'd better not do any smiling until we get plenty far away from here. I don't feel safe yet.
Those last words of the tired Pat Ryan are the truest he's ever spoken, because trouble isn't very far away. Well, let's be on hand for the thrill in tomorrow's transcribed adventure.
Terry and the Pirates on Tuned to Yesterday from the 24th of November, 1941. And we wrap up this hour of continuing stories with Episode 2 of The McCormack Matter on yours truly, Johnny Dollar. First aired on CBS on the 4th of October, 1955.
From Hollywood, it's time now for Bob Bailey as...
Johnny Dollar.
It's Frank Porter, Allied Casualties.
Yes, Mr. Porter.
Oh, call me Frank, Johnny. You phoned yesterday about the McCormick matter. I got all the stuff about the case on my desk here, and we're still offering $7,500 reward.
Thanks for confirming it, Frank.
Sure. You got a tip or something?
An old con named Mike Cairn gave me a tip about a guy named Jojo Panny. I'm working on it.
Need any help?
No, not yet. I might... Jojo pulled out of his hotel last night, bag and baggage.
What are you going to do?
I'm on my way to Long Island.
Huh?
I want to talk to McCormick himself.
Oh. Johnny.
Yeah?
Let me give you a tip for your own good. Don't bother Julian McCormick unless you've really got something. Could be dangerous.
I think I've got something.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by special investigator Johnny Dollar to the Allied Casualty and Insurance Company Limited, Markham Building, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the McCormick matter. Item 4, $10 deposit on the car I rented to drive out to Julian McCormick's home on Long Island. And judging by the looks of the place, a safe full of $100,000 worth of jewelry would feel right at home. It was a mansion, and the rugs on the floor were an inch thick.
I'm sorry I've kept you waiting. Mrs. McCormick and I were packing for a little trip to Europe. Sit down, please.
Thanks. Going to be gone long?
Oh, we usually spend several months a year over there. We're a bit late this year. Our reservations are for next week.
I envy you, Mr. McCormick.
Dollar, the name?
That's right.
Forgive me, but I don't seem to recall having heard of you before.
Oh, that's okay. We never met. I'm an insurance investigator.
Oh, really? Am I being investigated or something?
No, nothing like that. It's just that I might have a lead on that jewelry that was taken from your home a few years ago.
Well, that's wonderful. You must tell me about it. Can I make you a drink?
No, thanks.
You're from the insurance company, Allied Casualty?
No, I'm not. I'm an independent investigator.
Well, why should anyone feel it necessary to call in a... Oh, I see. There's a reward, of course.
That's right.
Yes, of course. But now, tell me, how can I help you?
Well, I'm just checking a few things, Mr. McCormick. I haven't even gone over it with the man who handled the case for Allied. Possibly I have run into something that'll help. I don't know. I'd like you to tell me what happened.
My safe was opened and my jewelry taken.
I mean, how it happened.
Well, it was right in this very room. That's the wall safe there.
Uh-huh.
Mrs. McCormick and I had just returned from our honeymoon. 5 years ago it was.
Yeah?
All I know is that when I stepped into the library here that morning, the safe was open and everything was gone. Whoever did it was extremely clever and quiet, I must say.
Was the safe cracked?
No. It was just opened. Someone figured the combination or something like that.
Well, who knew the combination at the time?
Only myself, Mr. Dollar.
You're sure of that?
Why, of course.
I see.
I reported it to the police right away here on Long Island. Then some men from New York City were here, too.
And your insurance company?
I reported it to my insurance company immediately. They had a man on the scene as soon as the police. Mr. Porter.
Frank Porter?
Yes. You know him?
I've talked to him on the phone. I haven't met him.
A very nice chap. He worked very hard trying to recover it.
I'm sure he did. Did they have an adjuster?
Yes.
How much did you collect, if you don't mind?
Not much.
What do you mean?
Well, it was unfortunate. By keeping that much jewelry in a small house safe, it seems I violated the clause in the contract. It should have been kept in a safety deposit box or some such. Consequently, the matter went into litigation. I'm afraid the court found me at fault. I collected only a part of the insured value, $20,000. So, you can see, I'd certainly welcome a recovery.
Sure.
The jewelry was in the family a good many years. I had given it to my wife, and I... Well, a man hates to lose things he loves.
Yes, I understand. Was Mrs. McCormick here the morning it happened?
Oh, yeah?
I'd like to talk to her.
She's terribly busy, but if you think it's sufficiently important, I'll call her.
No, never mind.
I'm curious, Mr. Dollar. This case has been closed a long time. At least, no one's contacted me or asked me for any information about it for at least 4 years. What opened it?
A man named Mike Cairn.
Huh? Who's he?
An old convict up at Ossining who shared a cell for a while with a man named Joe Penny.
Uh-huh.
Cairn died yesterday. But before he died, he told me he thought Penny had something to do with it. He'd heard him mention your name.
Well, it seems to me you should talk with this Joe Penny.
I did, and I will some more, as soon as I locate him again. Right now, he's missing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, thanks for the time, Mr. McCormick.
You let me know if you learn anything?
Sure.
Do you honestly think you can recover that jewelry?
With any luck at all.
That would be wonderful, wonderful.
You think so?
Why, yes, of course.
Mrs. McCormick might be glad to know about it, too.
What?
You said it was her jewelry. I don't know why I said that to him. Just a sudden impulse. But he wasn't smiling when he walked me to the door, shook my hand, and patted me on the shoulder. I had a funny feeling that Mr. Julian McCormick was scared like a rabbit of me. I drove back to the city, had lunch at Walgreens, and dropped into Allied Casualty's New York office to pick up the folder on reward information. I met Frank Porter and liked him right away, a big red-headed man in a tweed suit.
Well, gee whiz, Johnny, it makes me feel older than ever doing this.
How come?
Well, I weighed 15 pounds less when this case started, June 1951. Ah, here we are. These are pictures of the stuff.
Uh-huh.
Now, that one they call Tierra del Fuego.
Huh?
Some necklace,
I can see why.
Yeah, and this one was called Imperial, in the royal family of Russia at one time. And this is the other one, Placid.
Beautiful stuff.
Oh, you can say that again.
That all of it?
Well, that's about the size of it, Johnny. $100,000 gone.
Yeah.
Help any?
Sure. It's nice to know what I'm trying to find.
Well, I hope you have better luck than I did.
Yeah. Say, who was the police officer on the case?
Martin. Dules Martin.
Out of Central?
Yeah. We ran down every lead we could find, big and small.
The file said you made 12 arrests.
Yeah, something like that, but not one of them panned out. Had to let them all go. Martin requested pickups on every big-time jewelry man in the country. Now, I don't think one of them was overlooked.
Well...
No, Johnny, somebody just simply walked in that house, opened the safe as neat as you please, and walked right out with all of this. Very slick job. Had to be an experienced man.
Well, might have been a first job for someone just starting in. He got lucky.
Yeah, we thought of that, and we didn't think much of it after a while.
Thank you.
Gee whiz, Johnny, you know, nobody could be that lucky. Case the house, know exactly where the safe was, know what was in it, get in, open it up, and get out without anybody, servants, the McCormicks, or any of their friends even seeing.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, that wasn't even the hardest part, you see. Not one scrap of this stuff has ever turned up anywhere.
Yeah,
well, anywhere. Now, what did whoever took it do with it? Did he break it down, sell it overseas? What? Not a trace of it. Imagine that.
Imagine.
You know what I think? I think the guy who swiped all this stuff still has it. I think he's sitting around waiting for it to cool off.
Could be.
But it's never going to cool off, Johnny. There isn't a city in this country or across the ocean that isn't on the lookout for these pieces.
I suppose.
Now, sooner or later, hot boy or lucky boy, well, whoever he is, will make a move. Meantime, we just wait. Unless, of course, you've got something for us to look into.
Not yet, Frank.
Yeah, well, when you have, we'll be right with you all the way.
Good, good.
How about a drink?
Take a rain check.
Okay, but remember, we got a whole floor full of lawyers upstairs. They can get up warrants, writs, seizure orders, anything you might want.
Yeah.
You just let me know when you get somewhere and we'll go to work.
I'll do that, Frank. I left Frank Porter and went back over to the parole office to see what had developed with Joe Panny. After all, if he didn't report in, he'd be in violation of his parole, be in real trouble. But nothing had developed. He hadn't put in a change of address, nothing. So I went back to my hotel and had some dinner. Then I shaved, changed my clothes. Expense account, item $5.50, cab fare. I garaged my rented car, went back to Central Police Station, and pulled out the mug on Joe Panny once more, hoping to get a line on some friends or relatives of his where he might be staying. Up till then, things had been going pretty routine. Then a clerk from the parole offices stepped across the hall.
Hi, Mr. Dollar.
Hi.
Thought it was you I saw in here. I wasn't sure. How's it going?
Fine, fine.
Talked to your friend Jojo Panny yet?
Not today. Why?
Well, you seemed awful anxious to talk to him, is all.
I am.
Why don't you go see him?
You're playing games. I've been trying to find out where he is all day.
And I already told you.
You what?
Sure, I gave it to you half an hour ago when you phoned.
When who phoned?
Sure, about half an hour ago. Look, Joe Panny called in and told me his address.
Yeah?
I no sooner set down the phone than you call in and said, this is Johnny Dollar. Have you heard from Joe Panny?
What?
I said, yeah, and I told you his address, that's all.
What address did you say?
The Allen Hotel on 115th Street, same place he was before. What's the matter, you forget?
It took me 10 minutes to get from the police station over to the Allen Hotel. 10 minutes of wondering who'd put in that call and used my name. I went up the stairs, two at a time, up to the second floor. And right at the top of the landing, I bumped into a dark-haired woman wearing a silver fur piece.
Oh! Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see you.
It's all right. You hurt?
No, not at all. Please, let me go past. I'm in a hurry.
Yeah, I'd be in a hurry, too.
What do you mean?
The gun.
What?
You should carry it on the inside of your purse.
Oh, I didn't...
Suppose I take it.
No, let go of me!
Fingernails, huh? Give it to me.
All right, take it.
She'd given it to me, all right, right on the side of the head. It didn't knock me out, but it did knock me off balance, so I tangled up with a hall table. And that gave her plenty of time to scurry down the stairs while I got out of the furniture and back on my feet. By the time I got down the stairs and out on the street, she was nowhere in sight. No one yelled, I'm shot. No one did anything but what they were already doing.
Hi.
Where were you just now? You weren't here at the front desk.
I was out back eating my dinner. Why?
Oh, nothing. You happen to see that woman who just ran through here?
No.
Tall, dark-haired woman, about 30, wore a mixed stole.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, you're kidding. And this joint.
Oh, brother.
You still looking for Joe Panny?
He lives here again, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Have you seen him? Where is he?
Out.
I sat down with myself and waited. A half an hour later, when the clerk went back to finish his dinner, I stepped over to the desk and borrowed his pass key and went back up the stairs to room 210. I didn't need the passkey, and I didn't need to doubt the clerk. Joe Panny wasn't there. But all of his things were. The curtains were drawn and the windows closed. Every drawer had been pulled out of every dresser. The mattress on the bed was slit from top to bottom, and the rug had been ripped and turned over.
Expense account, item 6, $1, one drink. For me. I left JoJo's room, went to the nearest bar, sat down, and had a drink. A scared victim, a missing con, a dark-haired woman wearing a mink and a gun, and other things. Right then and there, I decided that Mike Cairns' tip had been pretty good at that.
Now, here's our star, Bob Bailey, to tell you about tomorrow's episode.
Thanks. Tomorrow, a slight case of mayhem. When the right guy turns up in the wrong place. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by John Dawson, the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Truly, Johnny Dollar on Tuned to Yesterday from October 4th, 1955 on CBS. And that closes this hour of continuing series on Tuned to Yesterday. We'll pick back up on these tales next week at the very same time. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. It's been a pleasure.